What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Martian and Ozzy podcast. This week, we're going to be breaking down the UFC Apex card headline by Tai Tuivasa versus Marcin Tybura. 13 fights going down in Vegas at the Apex this weekend. Joined by my co-host, as always, Ozzy. How are we doing this week, my man?
What's up? Fresh off a killer pay-per-view, right? I think the card that we were most anticipating for the year. So, you know, cool week. A lot of discourse. You know, that came from it, you know, some awesome moments. So yeah, I enjoyed that last week, warming up here in the Northeast. And we got a little Apex card here on deck. So here we are.
Yes, definitely not a ton to talk about this week, but, you know, last week was a great event. Top to bottom, main card delivered, great fights. Dustin Poirier was the highlight for me. But also, you know, Jack Della, big comeback KO. Song and Jan had a really good fight. O'Malley styled on Vera. So it was a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, they, I mean, you know, the fight card overall, I thought a few fights were boring, came a little bit predictable early on. But I, unfortunately, was on the bad end of three fights in a row where it was kind of the bet was looking great, like between Shelton, Song Yadong, and Gilbert Burns. So, the Chuk one, I was like, when I thought about it again, like we were investing in Chuk when we could have just been taking Dustin Poirier at just like a better number as well. And the Chuk fight kind of went as we really thought it would go overall. Chuk just couldn't really land as many strikes as I thought she would be able to. And Macy Barber kind of brought her typical game in there. But yeah, it was a little bit of a losing week for me on the track side of things, but did pretty well between live bets. And that O'Malley decision line and goes the distance and the over got to basically pick him late. And I kind of just plowed into that and you know, kind of played that pretty hard as well. And I had Cheeto, no scorecards. So between that and the MVP fight going the distance and Dustin Poirier adding late, I had a pretty good event. But yeah, a few losers in there that I would do again. And I think if I keep getting on the right side on like that, especially in the plus money side, it's going to pay off for sure.
Yeah, it was a losing week for me. I think I did very poorly in the live bets for a rare change. But I did win the big head-to-head with you. I had my man, the American, Curtis Razor Blades.
Crazy.
And, Black History Month was over right before that event started. That did not stop Curtis Blades. Moved to 7-0 on pay-per-views, too. So
big money fighter.
Good to see Kurt get back on track there. But that's enough about last week. We got 13 fights this week. We're starting things off hot in the main event. Two guys coming off of consecutive losses here. Tai Tuivasa coming off of three losses in a row, getting finished in all three. Marcin Tybura coming off getting knocked out in 60 seconds by Tom Aspinall. Really great fight here. Odds for this one have a near pick'em on BetOnline. Tai -117, Tybura -103. Not really a groundbreaking take for me in this one, but I just think that I'm going to be waiting to live bet Tybura. I think the most likely way he loses is obviously in the first round. And he typically just takes a beating before surviving and then coming back on his opponents, like the Greg Hardy, like Walt Harris, like a lot of guys, Romanov. A lot of his recent wins have been he loses the first round, his opponent slows down, and then he capitalizes late. So there's no need, in my opinion, to take Tybura before the fight. And we can just wait for Tai to have his best moment. Maybe Tai even knocks him out in the first round, and we can just avoid a loss here. So I imagine that if it gets out of round one, it should be pretty much all Tybura from there, getting a finish on the ground at some point in the second or third. But, you know, low-level fight, and I'm waiting to live bet this one. So any thoughts from you here?
Yeah, I would argue definitely not a low-level fight because Marcin Tybura, one of the most well-rounded heavyweights in the game. But yeah, you know, I like Marcin. I think in like kind of the post-COVID stretch, he kind of like rattled off like five or six wins where he was plus money in a few of them, and I definitely supported him to a fair bit. But you kind of know what's wrong with him or like his faults as a fighter, not the best chin, sometimes kind of throws strikes a little bit of a low pace and kind of can be content with just kind of scraping by. But overall, he is the better, like, martial artist, I would say. Better kicks, you know, can close the distance well, and has a ground game and a little bit of wrestling. But, you know, I do think he could potentially get caught by a few punches here by Tai. Tai throws a lot of very good leg kicks as well. Marcin is nimble, but you saw in the Tom Aspinall fight, and usually his fault is that kind of like the speed either of guys, like with Aspinall, like I thought he would compete honestly on the feet, but Aspinall is just way too quick. So, I mean, I lean to if I'm thinking about the fight, that more times than not, Marcin Teixeira wins. But, you know, the live bet angle is very good, especially if kind of you're able to commit maybe after a few good strikes by Tuivasa, because, you know, Tuivasa gets tired. He's kind of got his one path to victory, and Teixeira at all times will be able to win and should be able to win down the stretch because he has been into the later rounds. And did the Werdum fight go five rounds, or yep. It went a little bit late? It went all five. Yeah. So, you know, he's really good. I like Teixeira, so I might bet him pre-fight, but he's going to be my pick. I just can't pick Tech Tuivasa.
Yeah, and 9-3 in decisions, losses to Volkov, Werdum, and Tim Big Dick Johnson way back in the day. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, the longer it goes, it favors Teixeira. And, you know, Teixeira would be my pick to win the fight, so I wouldn't totally, you know, knock anyone for taking him before the fight if you're unable to live bet. Enough about that one. Going on to the co-main event. Good fight here in the welterweight division. Two young up-and-coming, well, not young, but two up-and-coming guys who have been doing well lately. Brian Battle taking on Ange Lusa. Odds for this one have Battle getting a lot of action all week. Minus 183, Lusa plus 158. Your turn to start this one off.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting welterweight fight for me. I think that the guys down south in the Killcliff camp, like Ange Lusa, you know, Ange Lusa is around for a lot of these guys' fight camps and, you know, has been down there for a while. He fought Jack Della, you know, a few years back, kind of took that L. But overall, he's been developing, I feel. And same thing with Brian Battle. The only thing for me is that Brian, I feel, for him to win this fight in reality, like, his best chance, I think, is implementing some kind of grappling. And I'm not sure if he's going to do it. And I actually do really like Ange Lusa's game on the feet, like his stand-up. I feel like the Munar-Lazarez fight, maybe just a little bit of a bad matchup. He was maybe a little bit of an off night. But I think that on the feet, I think he's just a lot sharper than Brian Battle. And I think that Brian sometimes gets by because of his chin and before durability and maybe being a little bit quicker and more have more skills than some of the middleweights. But at welterweight, I think it's a little bit of a different game. And I like, you know, I liked him earlier, like the plus 140 number for Ange Lusa, so 155. I feel like I'm getting a really good deal, and that's going to be one of my main bets for this week. And yeah, but just keeping it to the money line, because I think he could win knockout or decision as well.
Yep, I'm in agreement there. Ange Lusa money line for me this week. I do think decision is probably the most likely, but I mean, Ange Lusa has some pop in his hands, and I think that Battle kind of likes to trade on the feet these days, and that could get him caught here. So the line on Lusa KO is pretty big, but I feel like he's most comfortable mixing in takedowns and, you know, taking the fight to the floor. He hasn't even finished a fight since 2016. His past, you know, I think 7 or 8 fights have all went to the decision. So that definitely seems the most likely to me if this fight goes the decision. And I just think that Lusa has a little more firepower. I mean, I think this is going to come down to, you know, who's hustling more. And Battle does have a good gas tank and a good work rate, but he can be taken down. I don't think his defense is very good on the feet. And I think Lusa is the better athlete of the two, man. So I just don't see why this money continues to pour in on Battle here. I liked Lusa early in the week at his, you know, plus 130 price. So I'm going to be adding some more to my Lusa position here, probably rounding off like 1.5 units on Lusa here. And he is my pick to win a decision. And just one more note about that fight. In terms of, you know, always just discussing live bets, I feel that the fighter more likely to start off well and to fade late is Lusa. So, like, if you have Lusa before the fight and he's doing well, but he's losing some steam, then there's going to be, I think, a chance to, you know, hedge off with someone Battle Plus Money Live if you're watching these fights live. So we're moving on to the light heavyweight division. Kennedy and Zetchiku over in St. Preux. Odds for this one having Zetchiku all the way to minus 700, OSP plus 500. So ton of action coming in on the already big favorite in Zetchiku. The parlay is just piling on for Zetchiku. I think it's gotten a little out of hand, but OSP is coming off a long layoff, coming off of a steroid suspension, you know, coming off of just a 60-second knockout against Felipe Lins, a guy who's not really known for finishing people lately in the UFC, too. So just all bad signs from OSP. But Zetchiku, man, is a goofy-ass fighter, and there's no way you could bet anything related to Zetchiku here. His money line, his ITD line, they're all out of whack. The only thing maybe I could see is like his late submission line potentially, because the sub is at, you know, plus 1,000 on some books, and he has submission wins. Just over Devin Clark recently was a submission win. So, you know, plus 1,000 for the sub versus KO at minus 250. I see some value on the sub for Zetchiku here. I'm wondering if you're thinking the same here, Ozzy.
Yeah, I honestly didn't give this fight a ton of thought in terms of, I mean, what was the number that you said again that it's 1,000. At? Okay, yeah. I mean, at that price, it's pretty good just because I think OSP is the biggest fault in his game often was his cardio, him coming in fat with, you know, a dump truck. And you know, he kind of, when he got clipped by, what's his name, Jamal Hill, I think he kind of like started kind of, you know, sticking his neck out, kind of covering up a little bit. And you could see this guy jumping on his neck for sure. I don't really have confidence in OSP to even show up here too much. You know, could he catch Kennedy with a big shot? Yeah, he could even catch Kennedy with a, you know, maybe like a Von Flute, right? Because maybe something like this happens. You're saying like he goes for a guillotine, my boy takes him down, and OSP locks up the Von Flute, right? It could happen, dude. You can't say never, but it's a total pass fight for me, honestly. Like, I have no investment on it, and I don't foresee myself even being interested in live. Two very strange fighters, you know. OSP's maybe a lot of money, but you know, I think I tapped all the water from that well.
Actually, some books have this fight removed. There's been some speculation that it might be canceled. I just checked DraftKings and it's gone from there. I did make a bet though on FanDuel. I think it's round one KO plus 2,500 for OSP. I think if he comes out chucking, that's his best chance to win. And you know, he Zetchiku did just get knocked out by Jacoby in the first round too. So stranger things have happened at these big weight classes. We're moving on to a fun fight in the featherweight division. Christian Rodriguez moving up to 145 here, taking on Isaac Dolgarian. Odds for this one have Dolgarian as the favorite, getting steam this week, minus 190. Rodriguez plus 165. Your turn to start this one off. What do you think of all this line movement on Dolgarian this week?
Man, interesting fight overall. When I kind of was first thinking about it, you know, I actually bet on Cameron Simon in the last fight that C-Rod had. I felt that with the weight advantage, that was definitely to the detriment of Cameron. And a lot of the positions there, I just felt that Christian won because he was bigger, just flat out, like a lot of some of the wrestling transitions and stuff like that. I felt that his technique wasn't great, and I thought that if someone was, you know, his same level, big or bigger, he would have a really big issue. And they gave him someone who is bigger and is at a higher level. So I think he's gonna struggle here in the grappling department. I do foresee Isaac getting takedowns. So I did take a small bit at a money line price at in the 145 area, minus 145. And I also like him by decision. So he could finish Christian. I could see like maybe like a grappling pace, wearing him out, hitting maybe a big ground and pound strike. But I project that it's more of a decision line or a fight because of Christian being able to counter grapple. I feel a little bit better than Chris Marshall. And then maybe being able to keep range a little bit earlier in rounds with his jumping kicks and being a little bit faster at the 145 weight class. But I do like Isaac to win this fight. My fellow future fight or current fight members, fight numbers, you know, coworker, whatever. Pepe, also, I think he's all over Isaac as well. So a lot of sharp guys on the Isaac side. I think some tout money came in on him in like the minus 150 or 60 range. So I think he's the side, but it should be an interesting fight.
We were both severely dead wrong about Dolgarian's last fight. Getting a Marshall there. I think it's kind of refreshing to be dead wrong sometimes. I don't know about you. But Dolgarian has 10 fights in his career, amateur, pro, never been out of the first round. So this guy's clearly a menace early on. I don't think he's going to have bad cardio. I don't think he seems like a guy who's just going to totally, you know, gas, fall off a cliff after the first round. But you do have to wonder about that, the fact that he's never even seen the second round in an MMA fight. And his opponents are getting progressively better. And, you know, with the way he was fighting versus Marshall, I mean, he was throwing a ton of strikes. He was using a lot of energy. So his style could be the type of style where he might slow down if this gets out of the first round. And I think it will, because Rodriguez is a tough guy to finish. I think, especially on the ground, we've seen it versus JSP before. He was undersized, short notice against a big fighter in JSP. And he's survived on the ground pretty well there, survived some submission attempts, ground to pound, didn't have any quit in him. But he was also going for the guillotines a lot in that fight. And even you saw Rosas Jr. when he got to the back and was in like that back clinch position, he was controlling Rodriguez there. So Rodriguez does seem like the type of guy who is susceptible to going to being out grappled. Even Josh Weems took him down once or twice early on easily. And I just think he relies too much on those front chokes, and he's going to get taken down here. So I think Rodriguez will be out to an early deficit and he will be losing, and you will be have to have a chance to get in on a better live price on him rather than taking him before the fight, especially with what I was saying about Dolgarian never making it out of the first round. So I think it'll be all Dolgarian here until maybe we see his cardio tested. I'm interested to see that, but you know, no bets on this one for me. But I do think the way you played a Dolgarian decision is good, you know, way to do it, because you're getting a better price on it because he's never been to that decision. But that does seem like the most likely outcome, Dolgarian wrestling his way to a decision here. And the next fight is a rematch in the women's bantamweight division. Pandy Kianzad, Macy Chiasson. Chiasson minus 220, Kianzad plus 185. They fought for the first time back on the Ultimate Fighter finale back in 2018, I believe it was. Yep. And the odds for that fight were near pick'em closing. And Macy won that fight pretty easily, man. I mean, she was really leveraging her size in that fight. That fight was at 45. This one is at 35. And I think, you know, Chiasson was just really good back then. Like, she was undefeated as a pro at the time. She just beat Larissa Pacheco on the Ultimate Fighter. And I think she was just fighting with a lot of confidence that she doesn't really have anymore. And she was, you know, bullying her way into the clinch and getting takedowns and just using her size on Kianzad. I think she's looked worse over the years, but she's also fighting much, much better opponents. But just rewatching that fight, man, I just think Pani looked so helpless in the wrestling positions that I can't go and take her again here, especially with what we just saw versus Pani versus Vieira. I mean, Vieira is a good women's fighter and grappler, but man, Pani, just in terms of the wrestling, man, she looks pretty helpless. I don't think she really knows what she's doing a lot of the times. She does a really bad job once put on bottom. I just don't think her body type or her fighting style is suited towards like scrambling and to escaping grappling positions here. So if Chiasson goes back to that wrestling and the clinching that won her the first fight, I think she has potential to win this fight again in a similar fashion. And considering Chiasson did win the last fight by sub, I think the fact that her sub line is plus 700 on some books is worth a bet. But the one thing I have to say is rematches in MMA almost always go the opposite way. So Chiasson finished her the first time, just like last week, Marion Moroz finished Calderwood the first time. And then what happened? The fight completely flipped. And that means that Pani is probably going to win the decision here. But my bet would be on the fight would be Chiasson sub at 7-1.
I got Pani here, and it's one of my other kind of money line bets for this week. And I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying, but none of them really matters. Macy hasn't fought at 135 since, I don't know, it's been like four fights, dude. It's been a long time. She's getting older, and she just looks diminished. And she's the type to you know, go into fight week. Like a bunch of times she's going into fight week and asking, oh, we need to move the fight to, you know, some catch weight to accommodate her and stuff like that. So I don't think, one, I don't think that's going to happen this week. I think if that happens, I think Penny's going to turn down the fight. That's first. Secondly, even if they don't do it, I just think this girl is going to not, she's not going to be able to put a 3-round wrestling pace Penny. So at plus 190, I got Penny. She's going to touch her to the, but this girl got knocked out by a liver kick from bottom, dude. What happens when Penny starts lighting up that, you know, that body with punches?
I don't know, bro. It's like 2000 or something.
Let's go. Penny knockout. Penny by knockout. Penny round three. Penny round three, brother.
She hasn't knocked the opponent out in a decade.
Perfect. She's due. She's due.
I had some point I wanted to. Oh, yeah.
Penny knockout is about way the weight. Better than what? What?
That is a good point about the weight. She hasn't made 135 since 3 years ago, but she did have a stretch where she made 135 five times in a row and did go 4-1 in those fights. So,
okay, what's that say about today?
I think she'll make it, but it definitely is a bit of a question mark.
And what about her getting knocked out by a liver kick to the body?
That was weak.
Ketlin was a smaller favorite. Why was Ketlin a smaller favorite than
Macy? Well, that line was wrong.
Than Macy. Okay, but, I mean, plus 190, dude, is unreasonable. Would you bet Macy minus 190?
No, I would not bet a woman at minus 190.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, get on the winning side, brother.
Money line side, yeah.
Last week, I said, hey, if you take Caitlin and Joanne, I said at the end of the podcast, what happened? Joanne won. Boom.
Well, there's three women's fights.
Double your money.
We'll have to see what we do this week. Okay, that's enough about that one though. Last fight on the main card, first fight on the main card, middleweight division, premier division, Gerald Meerschaert, GM3 taking on Brian Barberina. Odds for this one have Meerschaert minus 238, Barberina plus 203. Your turn to start this one off.
Oh, hate this fight. The more I think about it, the more I want to just fade GM3. Am I going to feel dumb when he's in top mount on freaking Barberina and Barberina's freaking throwing hammer fist punches from his back and Gerald armbars him like it's UFC 1? Yes, I'm going to feel dumb. But I feel like GM3 has changed sometimes. I really don't want to fade GM3. Like, I don't like rooting against him. So I'm probably not even going to do it. But I would have to take... Barberina or pass. I just feel maybe he could, you know, Gerald shoots, you know, bad takedowns sometimes, and Barberina, he's scrappy, dude. And if you're not physically imposing, like, I feel like Martian was, like, physically imposing, so it kind of was a little bit tough for him to kind of build back up and get up. But Gerald's not really like that. Gerald's more of, like, a slick grappler. He's going to try to, like, get around him and fucking take his back and then get a front headlock and all this shit. So I don't know how effective it's gonna be, so I definitely don't want to be a part of taking him at chalk.
All right, pop quiz, Ozzy. In GM3's past 15 fights, how many has he been the favorite in?
Ooh, 15 out of last 15. I'm gonna say 4.
1. that is according to Tapology. It might not have the exact closing line right, but Dustin Stolfus was the fight where he was
minus 200. He was like this price.
He was minus 250, and I'm almost positive that was 1-1 heading into the third round. And Meerschaert was losing the third round, and then got a choke in there. I think it was a rear naked, it just goes to show that this guy, Dustin Stolfus was up 2-0 on one card, and then it was 1-1 on the other two. So that it was a do or die in round three for Meerschaert, and he pulled it out against Stolfus, who stinks. And listen, Barberina at 185 this late in his career does stink, but GM3 at 70% is never ever a good bet. It's not. I mean, so it has to be Barberina or pass. And I think you can't be that wrong, man. I think if it stays on the feet, Barberina is going to be throwing out a lot of volume, pumping out volume. His cardio is fine. He's tough. He's, you know, Meerschaert isn't going to really hurt him on the feet, I imagine. So Meerschaert's going to have to wrestle, and he's going to have to, you know, likely submit. And that brings me to the next point is the goes to distance here is heavily, heavily predicated on GM3 sub. And that really is the only likely finish in this fight for me. So I think probably the ITD and under is getting overvalued. GM3 sub at even money is getting overvalued. Holy shit. I mean, I know he got subbed by RDA and Burns, but guys, I hate to break it to you that GM3 is a little bit different of a grappler than those two guys. So I think Barbarina is going to have to be worth the bet here, unfortunately. That's going to bring us to the prelims. Mike Davis, Natan Levy. Odds for this one have Davis minus 500, Levy plus 375. Ton of steam on Davis. It's probably accurate. Natan Levy is just kind of a very harmless fighter, right? This guy doesn't land powerful strikes at all. He takes guys down and he lets them up right away. His top game sucks. This guy just doesn't he doesn't finish anybody. He doesn't hurt anybody. He just doesn't he's never mean in there, right? So I think that
he's no Bill Algeo.
No, not at all. He's also coming off a pretty damn long layoff. Didn't fight all 2023. And I just think Mike Davis is a much better opponent than any guy he's fought so far. And Mike Davis is going to be able to light him up on the feet, probably take him down and keep him down if he wants to. But the easiest path is just for Davis to keep it standing, you know, shuck off the takedowns. And I don't know how Davis is going to win. I would lean decision. But, you know, knockout wouldn't shock me at all because he's the much, much harder hitter of the two.
Yeah, so this fight, was there a replacement? Is Mike Davis filling in for somebody? No, yeah. Right? He is. Let's see. He is. I forget who it is. But
I don't think actually he is.
No. Yeah, so Davis, he's a talented guy, man. He came in on the Contender Series, fought Sadiq Youssef. That was kind of a war. I think he kind of lost that on durability and Youssef just chopping his calf. But then he moved up to 155, right? I think he had that fight. I don't know. I forget if the Gilbert fight was before or after. Who knows? But very well-rounded guy, you know, in very good condition, right? Strong as an ox, but like nimble, right? And wrestle, has good kicks, strong punches, pretty good boxing, has some jujitsu. So overall, I just feel that if Mike Davis is paying off and he's the guy, he's going to be looking good to like hurt Natan Levy with strikes. So I kind of gravitate towards a knockout finish. I don't think that if Davis is not putting damage on him, I feel that Natan can compete overall with whether it be in the grappling department with just point fighting and spraying out kicks and stuff like that. So I feel that Mike Davis doesn't have to be on the front foot. And I think that grappling, I don't know if it's going to be really easy. So I don't know if he's going to kind of stick to that. If there's a lot of resistance, he might just, you know, step back and just box with him. So I like the knockout.
You know, one concerning thing is I don't think Mike is good at cutting off the cage. I think he kind of follows you around and boxes you as well. Mike Davis, long layoff as well. This guy fights like once every 18 months for the past 4 or 5 years. So hopefully he can fucking get more active at some point. But yeah, I mean, it should be target practice for Mike on the feet. I mean, his boxing is real sharp. All right, then we're going on to the women's bantamweight division next. Josiah Nunez taking on Chelsea Chandler. Odds for this one have Nunez as the favorite, minus 145, Chandler plus 125. I don't know, man. I didn't put a whole lot of thought into this one this week. I kind of think the line is accurate. You know, both Nunez, they're both pretty big hitters for women, right? But I think Nunez just has a lot straighter punches. Chandler's punches are kind of looping and she's way less experienced. Chandler, that last fight against Dumont was ugly. You know, the running away moment was ugly. And but I don't know, man. If Chandler mixes in some takedowns here, Nunes's takedown defense and defensive grappling in general is not good. And you know, Ramona Pascual had some moments. Zara Farron was boxing her up in the first round, won the first round. So I don't know, man. I'm not interested in betting Nunes as a favorite. So I guess it's Chandler or pass. But uninteresting fight in all realms for me.
Yeah, this is the low-key main event of the evening. The other underdog female fight that we have that we kind of I definitely gravitate towards Chelsea Chandler. I do think that she potentially could get takedowns here. She showed that she was a little bit, I mean, she's shown that she's tough, but obviously, like you said, it's a bad look, kind of running away from your opponent and all these kinds of things. And Josiah Nunez is perpetually underrated. The girl, what, this fight's at 135, right? Josiah's, yeah. All her other fights are at 145, correct? None of her. I don't think she's had. All right. Or I think I'm right. Whatever.
I think so too.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's just always underrated because she looks, you know, how she looks. She's so small and kind of, you know.
The Bea Malecki fight, she was 135.
135, yeah. So, I mean, that was another fight. That was a hilarious one. But I just feel that Chelsea, she's solid. It's going to be maybe not as easy to get inside on her and get the angles that Josiane's going to want. And Josiane's probably going to get into some kind of grappling scenario where maybe Chelsea could drop some punches on her. But honestly, I would take Chelsea inside the distance because I don't even necessarily think if this fight goes later, it's better for her. I think I saw some people feeling that way. I kind of don't agree just because if she needs to get takedowns in the third round, I'm not feeling confident in that. So I would try to gravitate towards the inside the distance price and scoop that up. But, you know, obviously in women's MMA, we see a lot of decisions, but I feel this fight could be a fight that finishes either way.
Yeah, and another interesting point though, Chandler hasn't fought at 135. Actually, I'm seeing 145 for all her fights. She made 135 back in 2019, but the Dumont fight was 145. Stolyarenko was catchweight at 140, so she also hasn't made the weight. So, you know, people thinking Chandler maybe takes over on cardio. That's kind of a question mark too, with her not making this weight in a while. So. I don't know. Another fight where the potential for the women to miss weight. I think the UFC you fat bitches can't fight at 145 anymore. Like, either make 135 or you're out of here. I think they're officially done with 145, which is good. But man, sloppy shit there. Justice for Bea Malecki too. You know, she had concussion. She had a headache and a concussion symptoms for about 18 months straight after the Nunes fight, and that fight lasted one round. So,
are you saying justice for her because she didn't deserve that?
I don't know. I just felt bad.
Again, Martian, I've been telling you, you're a Philly sports fan. There's no way that you felt bad at any point while Bea Malecki was getting her shit kicked in.
Well, it's funny. I followed her like 4 or 5 years ago on Instagram. Then I just see her post a couple years ago, like, the past year has been the darkest year of my life. I've had a headache for 18 months. My ears are ringing. rough game for $12,000. Hopefully she comes back real soon though. flyweight division next, men's flyweight. Odey Osborne, Jafel Filho. Odds for this one: a Filho -153, Odey Osborne +133. Your turn to start this one off.
This fight here is one where I identified early on that I just felt that Odey Osborne is bait. Don't like him as the underdog. Don't like him a lot in these fights at 125. His last fight was a 130 catch weight. And I kind of reference these weights. And the biggest reason is just there's like a difference in the power and the stuff like that you bring into the cage, the pace, usually. And I kind of just don't think that Ole is going to be able to stop Fiallo from getting in on town. Even Charles Johnson is not a really good grappler, kind of got in on his hips kind of whenever he wanted, or at least was able to close the distance. They took like a 6 minute break there for a groin strike. Like, that fight was totally irrelevant in my opinion. It's not like it was a good performance anyway. And I just think that Fiallo's gonna be able to submit him or win a decision. I'm not sure. I like the money line now that it's come down -150. I'm good with that. So that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, that was his second to last fight. The 131 against Johnson did get, you know, destroyed by Almabayev in his most recent fight. But
He looked terrible in that fight too. He didn't look good.
Yeah, that one thing I think is worth noting right off the bat is, Filho won his last fight by submission. Odey lost his last fight by submission, and that the odds now have Filho sub at +141. You know, on some books, I think that's far too much equity. You know, they have Filho ITD. It's a men's flyweight fight, guys. And they have Filho ITD -120. I don't see where that much finishing equity comes from in this one. So I think there's got to be value on the overs and the goes the distance here. Maybe even not Filho inside the distance on DraftKings or whatever book you can get it at. And I think the first round, Odey is actually going to do well. I think, you know, the fact that he's pretty fast and he's quick with his strikes while fresh. I think he's going to give Filho some trouble, especially we saw, you know, Barish just come out, be aggressive, throw some strikes, and it gave Filho some trouble, and Filho kind of had to work his way back in. And O'Day is not going to melt that quickly. O'Day does slow down in his fights, though. The Vergara fight, he got up to a 2-0 lead, lost the third round. First round against Charles Johnson, he won and lost the second and got close in the third. I think he, you know, squeaked out a split decision there. But I think it's pretty safe to say that his, you know, high intensity, dynamic striking style is pretty prone to slowing down. So I think you're going to get a better price on Filho live here. I think he'll eventually get takedowns, but I don't think it'd be early. And I wouldn't be surprised to see O'Day look good and get off to an early lead here. But I think I'm going to take some of that not Filho ITD and maybe even play some of the over 2.5 here. Because I think this one could be like a 29-28 Filho decision after dropping the first round. So not that interesting of a fight to me. The next one, though, is a real, real good one. I think this has potential to be the most exciting fight on the card. Featherweight division. Danny Silva making his UFC debut. Josh Koulibal coming back on the other side. -180 for Koulibal. Silva +155. Silva had an amazing fight in the Contender Series. I mean, it was sloppy, but it was competitive. It was high action. Both guys landed 200 strikes in that fight. And the guy just seems like a fun fighter, man. But here's the thing. That Pacheco fight, he drops him in the first minute. He's out striking him the entire fight. However, he is staying right in the mix, right in the pocket, so close to Pacheco the entire time. And even though he's better than this guy, he's quicker than this guy, he has better striking, he is just in there getting lit up with strikes the entire time. I mean, he has no distance management. So even though he was better than Pacheco, he still got hit by the guy 200 times. And you know, that just makes me think this guy is going to be constantly in close fights. So I understand why he's the underdog here, but man, this guy is aggressive. He's high output. He has good offensive dynamic striking. I love his elbows. This guy is throwing elbows on the break from the clinch, which is such an underutilized strike. And I just think this is going to be a striking war, right? I think that, you know, obviously slight possibility either guy ends up with a takedown here. I think if anybody's having grappling success, it's more likely to be Koulibal, but I don't think it's going to be an initiative of either guy here to be attempting takedowns. I think for the most part, they're going to stand on the feet, trade. Koulibal just tends to get in wars on the feet. He's got sneaky power, and he also kind of struggles against southpaws that time on the feet. Melsick gave him trouble early on. Jourdain gave him trouble later on in the fight with the southpaw striking. So I just think these guys are going to brawl, man. And so that makes me think that I'm going to be betting the under here, or the fight does not go the distance, undecided on which one. I think I'm leaning fight ends inside the distance +130. Full disclosure, I never win these fucking bets. And I don't bet the ITDs that much or the unders that much. When I do, I'm usually fucking wrong. And I'm going to do it anyway here, though, because I think it's going to be a crazy fight where either guy can knock each other out. Money line side, I think, is Danny Silva. And man, it should be a crazy fight.
Interesting fight here. I mean, Danny Silva, the fight that he had in the Contender, I mean, he was just, I mean, I can't believe he didn't break his hands because he was just clubbing that dude up. He's had a few other interesting fights. Not sure if he's ready for this level overall. Koulibal is a tricky guy, you know, very opportunistic, well-rounded. I kind of like maybe him by submission here. But other than that, there's not a play that I've settled on in this one. And it's kind of like, I'm not sure what Koulibal is really going to do, like his whole approach. If it was me, I would try to kind of, while this guy's throwing all these crazy strikes, kind of like look to clinch, get an underhook, take him down, get his back, choke him out. But I don't know if he's gonna do that, but he is capable, and I like the submission at maybe like 7-1 or something, you know, in that neighborhood.
One line that's not out yet, but I think will be interesting when it drops, is Silva decision only, because I was mentioning this guy has you know, such a high output. I think if this one hits the decision, he has a really good chance at winning that decision just because he's so high volume. And he's 320 to win by decision, while Koulibal's 160. So that makes me think he's going to be the underdog in the decision only market as well. So that's a prop to consider when that one drops. Odds for the next one, highly anticipated one here. Women's strawweight, Corey McKenna, Jacqueline Amorin. Odds for this one have McKenna -180, Amorin +155. A boatload, as we say in Philly, of action on Corey McKenna here. I mean, she was minus 130 just about 30 hours ago, yesterday afternoon, all the way down to minus 180. I mean, she was an underdog for, you know, a few weeks there, and just ton of money pouring in on McKenna. Your turn to start this one off. What are you thinking about all this line movement?
Yeah, I do find it interesting, just because both these girls are young, could show improvements. I think obviously there's some tout action on the McKenna side, and just a certainty or a confidence that she'll stay safe in terms of their grappling, is able to consolidate top position if they do grapple, has a better gas tank, and just overall the better MMA fighter. This girl Amarin, you know, she is tricky on the ground. Like, it's a high level, is a little bit different. And I definitely think she could submit Poppins, because Poppins is, she's still alpha male, dude, at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So you don't never know. A leg lock. I don't know if you ever saw her LFA fight, Amarin, where she like knee barred this chick super quick, easily. But she probably slows down here a fair amount. But I do think that she might be improving, you know, to a degree where we don't really have a great handle of. So I'm not blaming anybody for being passionate, but for this fight, for me, it's a pass. If I had to stab something, it would probably be, I wouldn't want to stab anything. Honestly, I'm not great with the women's props. So I usually like to take I usually bet on the sides. So it's going to be a pass for me, but I'm definitely intrigued to watch.
I got some stabs here, and it would be McKenna late KO. I bet it at 25-1, 28-1 for round two, round three, because I think it's pretty clear that Amarin's style is, you know, liable for her to slow down. We saw that very evident in the Sam Hughes fight. Although, you know, I got to give her some credit. I mean, she had those chokes like 95% locked in, and those most women would have tapped them. And somehow Sam Hughes, the cross country runner, just doesn't need oxygen apparently, and she was able to, you know, weasel her way out of those. Most women would have tapped to them, but in the second and third round, she was totally gassed out, and she had no plan B. She was going for these weak takedowns. She wasn't getting them. She was, you know, going to her guard. She had no drive. She had no physicality after that first round.
Was that fight in the big cage, Martian? That was right. That was a live crowd. Was that a fight night?
I don't think so. But really? I could be wrong. That just seems like an Apex type of fight. Let's see. Oh no, you're right. Big cage.
Right. Yeah, it was like Texas maybe or something.
Miami.
Miami. Right. So that's the only thing that I was like considering, just because I remember like her being on her back and kind of like Sam like maneuvering and moving around a lot. I just feel that with this smaller cage, man, it's gonna be dangerous for Poppins with this girl. You don't want to grapple with her, though. I feel like the grapplers, they get better with their jujitsu. Like, you see, I feel so. That's the only thing I wanted to add in.
Well, Amarin could be two things. She could be someone like Dern, who relies on that jujitsu and never gets better at MMA, or she can be like someone like Rodolfo Vieira, who builds upon that jujitsu. So we're going to start to see what we hear. I think Amarin in round one, though, is, you know, going to be dangerous and looking better than plus 155, man. I mean, I think if any girl ends up on top in round one, I think Amarin is slightly more likely to be there, and I think she's going to be much more dangerous if she's able to get on top here. So,
dude, she's gonna go for some leg locks, dude. So I hope this girl's been working on some leg lock defense.
Yeah, I mean, Amarin is no doubt the better jiu-jitsu grappler of the two, but so early on, man, I think McKenna, especially at this price now, is no good. I think that if you were able to get in at, you know, plus money pick them, even, you know, minus 130 or something on McKenna, that was probably good, because the longer the fight goes, she's much more experienced late in fights, like significantly more experienced late in fights. Amarin has only gone out of round one two times, one in one of those fights. She finished Ruiz the bum in the third round and then totally gassed out versus Hughes. So her cardio is really much more variable. McKenna's been later in fights much more often, been to the decision six times. So just that late fight experience is enough for me to lean with McKenna here. But I think she's going to be in danger round one. I think the cardio advantage is clear with her, and that's why I took that round two, round three stabs, because I think she might be pretty hard to submit, obviously, coming from a jiu-jitsu background. So if McKenna is able to leverage her cardio, if Amarin slows down, McKenna's getting on top, I think she's going to be trying to go for more ground and pound instead of getting submission. So I'm on that late KO 2-3 for McKenna. That's going to take us to the second fight on the card, a short notice replacement fight in the lightweight division, Thiago Moises, Mitch Ramirez. Moises, big favorite here, -370. Mitch Ramirez, +295. Ramirez got knocked out by Carlos Prates on the Contender Series at welterweight, took a lightweight fight in the LFA, won it by KO in the first round, and now is getting a short notice fight versus Moises here. I mean, Moises, a wealth more experience at the high level. I mean, not even close to the level of experience for Moises here. And he's the much better grappler. He, at times in fights, hasn't been the most efficient, but he also has handled some lower level opponents with ease lately, like Yagos, like Mel Costa. But then he also boofed that fight against Joel Alvarez, who he's much better than, and he should have won that fight. So I think that Moises should be capable of, you know, using his experience in grappling here to find a late submission. I think the submission at any plus money is probably the side here, or probably the only bet I can see to be on here. Maybe wait for sub 2-3 if you're waiting for that, but I'll go sub 2 for Moises here.
I got Moises inside the distance.
Under. At what price?
Doesn't matter.
No, and that's not true. Under was playable early, but I'm sure it's gotten bet. Still -135 for under 2.5.
Doesn't start around 3.
That'll be
That hasn't dropped yet. Moises inside the distance, though. You could get like -140, 135. He's gonna finish. This fight will finish, but I would take doesn't start around 3. I like that.
Do you think he has a chance to KO Moises?
I just feel maybe some ground and pound. Who knows, dude? You know, sometimes maybe Moises wants to become the alpha, you know?
He had a knockout on the Contenders back in the day. Knocked out Jamal Emmert.
He's got
Emmert.
Some good kicks. He's got some head kicks.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember. Hasn't shown it in a while, though. And, you know, Ramirez probably cutting a lot of weight. I mean, he's cutting a lot of weight.
That's the other
thing. Yeah. He was at 170 for a while. Now he's taking a short notice fight at 155 here. So he's probably cutting a lot of weight. So, yeah, I think that's not a
Ramirez is a jobber, bro. He's a jobber. He's getting brought in just to lose. I mean, Thiago Moises, he's part of the ATT. He's in the inner circle, you know?
Right. Dustin Poirier giving him good vibes. Mateusz Gamrot giving him good vibes.
He shouted Thiago out specifically when he said that BSD fought one of his friends and beat him. That was Thiago.
I remember that. Yeah, that's
Thiago.
He didn't mention it by name, but I did catch that.
Yes, you did. You're a smart guy.
Last fight on the card for us, first fight on the card for everybody. It'll be kicking off at 4 p.m. on ESPN+. You going to be watching these fights live, Ozzy? You going to be touching grass on Saturday?
Oh, sir, got to touch grass, barbecue. We got, like, you know, with some friends out on Long Island. So, you know, maybe I'll catch a few fights at some point, but
not the Ecuadorians, right? Not that
I don't think they'll be there. No, they were sad, though. They were sad last week.
Yeah. So it's Chad from Canada, you know, just a horrible mix of things right there. I know a gay Chad from Canada too. Taking on Charlampos Gregorio, however the fuck you say that.
We're gonna go with Gregorio.
Yep. And the odds for this one, Gregorio -170, Chad +145, and I believe it's my turn to start this one off. So they're both kind of similar fighters, orthodox strikers mostly. Both like mixing in leg kicks. Gregorio really mixes in the leg kick pretty well, and I just think Gregorio is gonna be the side for me here. I bet him -158, and I just think that he's, you know, I know he's younger, he's much less shop worn, much less miles on him, and I think he's gonna be a little bit sharper here on the feet. And even if they tangle up and go on the ground at some point, I could see either guy having success. Chad had brief moments of wrestling success versus Jose Bobby Johnson in his last fight, but I think it'll be short-lived, and eventually Gregorio will probably, you know, hustle his way to a decision here by being the younger, more tenacious damaging fighter of the two. I mean, his, I think his striking is just overall sharper than Chad's. I mean, Chad has had, you know, Chad had close moments with Jesse Strader on the feet.
I mean, you remember what you said, that you thought Chad was a better striker than Jose.
We curved. That was a curve. I ended up betting Johnson submission in that fight. That one with 11 seconds to go. So whatever I said on the podcast is irrelevant because we made real dollars on that one.
Sounds good. Yeah, so we're on to this fight. This is likely Chad's last fight coming in or leaving the UFC. You know, Gregorio is not an amazing prospect, but he's from New York. He trains at Law MMA or Cerro Longo. Wow. I don't know the distinctions that they do. Has done jiu-jitsu, ran in the nice circles around here, the right ones. And hard worker, comes in shape. I think he makes 135 kind of easy. It's not hard, but I mean, it's not easy, but it's not hard. And mostly a striker, but the guys, you know, he could wrestle a little bit. You know, he could go on the ground. I don't think he's going to blow Chad out just because Chad, he'll move around. He's got a decent chin and stuff like that. So actually, potentially like this fight to go the distance. I do think that Chad could maybe get dropped or maybe like they come out at a crazy pace and it could fuck me over. But I think that it's going to go all three rounds. And I kind of like Gregorio by decision as well. I really don't want to lay the money line price. I'm better off. Like, I feel more comfortable with the GTD and taking a plus money on his decision line and just hoping that Chad, you know, was going to use, you know, kicks, you know, skirt around, jab a little bit, and Gregorio is not going to be able to land a really big clean shot. But what do you think about that? Would you favor it to go the distance, put a little bit of plus money on that, plus 120?
I would.
25? Yeah, I like that one. You know, I don't think it's a huge edge, but I do think that it goes the distance here at 135.
Chad's never been knocked out. He's been submitted. Exactly. He's been submitted six times somehow.
And I will say, I said it in the last fight as well. I said, Chad said that he's worked on his grappling, like, and, you know, all those kinds of things. But I did say that I liked Jose to finish the fight. And I think both of them came true, right? Like, if you bet the over, you would have won and then the submission. But it still took a long time for a guy with a lot of attribute advantage in Jose and a guy that goes for a lot of submissions to actually finish Chad. So Chad's tough. I like the goes to this.
Chad's just clearly, this is his do or die moment. I mean, he's 37. This is his fourth fight in the UFC. If he does not win this, he is out. And he's looked pretty flat in his past two fights. Even the one win in the UFC he had, Strader, I think was a pretty weak performance. Of course you remember this, Ozzy. But my infamous list of the worst fighters of the past few years, I really debated putting Chad on there, but I decided he didn't make the cut. And then he actually replied to the tweet and he said, oh, I guess who I know who I'm going to be looking for my next opponent. And I said, I replied, Chad, I'm going to be honest. I almost put you on the list. But
put him on the list? You had 200 people on that list. How did you?
No, it was only like 120. Like I said, he was close, and this is before the Johnson loss. I mean, it was close.
That's why you picked him, because you thought that he wasn't on that. You put Jose Johnson on that list, I'm sure. You dumb motherfucker.
No, fuck no. Okay, sure. Yeah, and then also Gregorio, a lot of Northeast ties, a lot of CFFC experience. He actually grappled a guy who I grappled against. This guy Christian
really.
Christian Bobby, he's like an amateur MMA fighter, but I did this tournament, right? And I went against this guy, and he destroyed me. And then after I was trying to talk to him after the match, he didn't want to talk at all. But I was like, oh, what's up, man? And then I was like, how long have you been doing jiu-jitsu? He's like, oh, 4 months. And I was like, dude, I've been doing it like 14 months, and this guy just fucking destroyed me. I was like, nice. Man, I might not have what it takes.
What did he submit you with?
I think we did no gi and gi, and then gi was an arm bar, and I don't actually remember what it was. No gi.
But he definitely submitted you twice.
Yeah. I think like a rear naked probably for no gi.
Yeah. Those divisions are, you know, a fucking minefield. Real scrap.
Yeah, he wrestled in high school.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. Yeah, you know. That sometimes in Pennsylvania and Jersey, the novice or the beginner division, sometimes they're the hardest divisions, dude.
Northeast is no
all
joke.
All these, especially at your weight class, all these little short dudes, they want their gold medal, dude. You know,
where the fuck is Chad from in Canada? I wonder.
Who knows, dude?
Alberta. That, I don't think that's anywhere near the Northeast. So
no.
All right, we'll do a little FMK, close this bitch out.
Let's go.
Okay, so I'll give you some, okay?
Please.
So we're going to go some goes the distances here, right? We're going to start things off with the one we just talked about, the Anheuliger Gregorio GTD plus 125, okay? And we're going to throw in the most recent women's fight we were talking about, Amarine McKenna GTD minus 160. And then last but not least, we'll do the O'Day O'Day Osborne Filo goes a distance plus 200.
Oof. Okay, FMK those. I'm gonna fuck that one that you just said that goes a distance there. Just that plus 200, better bang for your buck. I'm gonna marry the Anheuliger over. It's one or goes a distance, one of my favorite ones. And then I'm killing that Poppins Amarine. That fight could finish 12 ways to Sunday, so definitely count me out on that one, on that going the distance. Okay, so coming back at you, Martian. All right, number one, we got Marcin Tybura at, you pick him, you know, minus 102, 103, whatever your heart desires. I'm giving you Mike Davis to win inside the distance at plus 145. And last one, let's go with, what's another, Danny Silva. Or the under in the Danny Silva fight. Plus, what was that? It was like plus like 155. Yeah, same price as money lines.
I like these. Okay.
FMK.
So I'm gonna have to fuck the big man, Marcin Tybura. He's looking good with that new haircut. I don't know if y'all have seen that yet, but he's looking good.
That was a funny one.
And then that'll leave us to kill Mike Davis ITD. I have some questions about his finishing ability. A la the Thomas Gifford fight back in the day. And then I'm marrying the Silva under, man. It's a high tempo fight. There will be a lot of significant strikes. There might even be some knockdowns.
Will there be blood?
The elbows, bro. And Coulibal's nose is always bleeding too. But I think the elbows of Danny Silva are going to be causing some blood.
Nice call.
All right, that'll do it. So we're in the midst of a crazy stretch of UFC events right now. I think we still got like four in a row after this. You got any mentions you want to do?
So I'm partnering, some people know, with John Kelly, Pepe, a few other people on Fight Numbers.
Who are the other people?
Just some other people on the back end. Or Evan, excuse me, there Evan, and yeah, but there's like someone else as well in the back end, but what was I saying? Switching up the content, potentially doing some written articles, betting stuff. We have some betting tools that we're gonna be that John's been working on for a while, and this other person as well, potentially doing a different or a new podcast, potentially, hopefully, maybe Martian will be a part of it later on as well. But still TBD on a few of those things.
All right.
It's going to be a very profitable year, overall. And I think there's a lot of good things that we're spawning and creating together that, people will like, and, it will work out for them.
Sounds good. You got us on the edges of our seats with this, something is on the horizon. So make sure you're tuning in the following weeks to see what direction Ozzy's going in. But yeah, just keep plugging away with these fights. We got another kind of weak couple of fight nights in a row coming up soon, then the big UFC 300 card. So hope everyone enjoys the fights, has a nice weekend, win some money, and we'll see you all next week. Peace out, everyone.